You're listening to the John DePietro Show. New Hampshire primary. Tuesday. Big final weekend. Is Nikki Haley trying to get momentum against President Trump?
Attacks on his former UN ambassador, Nikki Haley.
She's not going to make it. She has no chance. She's got no way. Megan's not going to be with her.
The former South Carolina governor saying there needs to be a new generation in the White House.
Do we really want to have two 80-year-olds running for president? When we've got a country in disarray and a world on fire?
Trump on defense.
I feel like I'm about 35 years old. I actually feel better now than I did 30 years ago. Tell me, is that crazy? I feel better now. And I think cognitively I'm better than I was 20 years ago. I don't know why.
Trump is 77. Biden is 81. And that's a top concern for some independent voters like Kathy Piazza from Alton. She voted for Trump in 2016 and Biden in 2020.
We just really need a younger generation, for one. It's time to move on to someone that has a younger perspective and fresh ideas, someone that really can make change.
With just 4 days to go until the primary, Trump and Haley taking aim at each other. Trump telling his supporters Republicans will lose if Haley is nominated.
He says if you're the nominee, then Republicans are not only going to lose the White House, but they're going to lose races up and down the ballot. Your response?
I mean, Trump says things. Americans aren't stupid to just believe what he says. The reality is, who lost the House for us? Who lost the Senate? Who lost the White House? Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Donald Trump.
Well, despite those attacks, Haley has been reluctant to go after the former president for any of the 91 criminal charges that he is facing. She says that she would be open to considering a pardon if Trump is convicted. As for DeSantis, he openly admitted his campaign strategy is to try to hold on until South Carolina, hoping that Nikki Haley drops out of the race and then this becomes a one-on-one matchup between DeSantis and Trump, George.
Just a big
interesting strategy. I'm not sure it's going to be a winning strategy. But New Hampshire, it doesn't have the same fever that it's had in years past. Meanwhile, how about yesterday, Department of Justice released a scathing report that mass shooting in Texas, but one of the people up on the stage with U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, former Providence Police Chief Hugh Clemons, right there on the biggest stage. Let's hear the report.
The new report from the Justice Department paints a fuller picture of the law enforcement response to the Uvalde school shooting.
The law enforcement response to the mass shooting at Robb Elementary was a failure.
The 600-page report finding officers didn't swiftly confront the gunmen during the school shooting in Texas that took the lives of 19 children and two teachers in May of 2022.
As a consequence of failed leadership, training and policies, injured and scared students and teachers remain trapped with the subject in the classrooms waiting to be rescued.
Attorney General Merrick Garland saying some law enforcement leaders wasted time treating the Uvalde gunman as a barricaded subject and not as an active shooter. 77 minutes passed before police entered the classroom and took down the shooter. The report also shedding light on what happened after the shooting.
Victims who had already passed away were taken to the hospital in ambulances, while children with bullet wounds were put on school buses without any medical attention.
For grieving families.
I hope that the failures end today and that local officials do what wasn't done that day, do right by the victims and survivors of Robb Elementary.
The work isn't over.
What is your big takeaway?
Hearing the Attorney General say that if the officers would have gone in, there could have been a possibility that more kids would have been saved.
The local district attorney has not yet commented on the report. In fact, she said yesterday she hadn't even read it, but they are continuing with their own independent investigation. The governor here in Texas has also weighed in, saying they've already implemented a number of recommendations that were in this DOJ report based off of their own state-led review. George?
Okay, Maria, thanks.
There was
this
so
morning,
many,
a scathing new report.
There were so many mistakes that day, starting with the fact they left, you know, remember they left the door open? But that was Chief Hugh Clemons. He did remarkably well in with the Attorney General in going through it. Now, meantime, closer to home, there is an idea by Secretary of State Greg Amore to have same-day registration for voting. Folks, These needs to be stopped. The voting in Rhode Island continues to get worse and worse. I think less credible is what I'm saying. I just don't understand this. That was never designed. We've gotten as far as we have this far. This business that somehow someone is disenfranchised unless they can go and vote day of. I fundamentally disagree with it. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall, Plaster, and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. I can't believe this Los Angeles Innocence Project is going to take up the case of Scott Peterson. I am in disbelief. This is frightening what's happening now, that when you have clear-cut crimes and then the more time that passes, people start going in and trying to rewrite what happened. Los Angeles Innocence Project has taken up the case of Scott Peterson. I don't believe any of this, but here's the package on it.
This morning, a shocking turn in the case against Scott Peterson, the man convicted of killing his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child in 2002.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Scott Lee Peterson, guilty of the crime.
The Los Angeles Innocence Project filing a motion stating evidence has been discovered that points to Mr. Peterson's innocence and points to the actual perpetrators of the crimes against Lacey and Connor Peterson. The motion claims witnesses who saw Lacey the morning she went missing were not properly interviewed and that a burglary right near the Peterson home around the same time was not fully investigated. They also want more DNA testing of a burned-out van found a mile away. Peterson's trial attorney, Mark Garagos, remembers arguing the case.
There were unbelievable amount of leads and pieces of evidence that pointed everywhere but Scott.
Now 51 years old, Scott Peterson is currently serving a life sentence.
We, the jury, made a decision based on a set of facts in the end, all agreed on one thing. Scott Peterson was guilty of having murdered his wife and unborn child.
Lacey was 8 months pregnant when she went missing over two decades ago on Christmas Eve.
We'll be giving birth real soon. We need to bring him home, and I think that's the best way that we can do it all.
Peterson sat down with our Diane Sawyer a month after Lacey's disappearance.
Everybody sitting at home wants the answer to the same question. Did you murder your wife?
No, I did not. And I had absolutely nothing to do with her disappearance.
Suspicion mounted as details of an affair surfaced. The woman, Amber Fry.
Scott told me he was not married. We did have a romantic relationship.
Peterson was arrested in April of 2003, on the same day the bodies of his wife and unborn son were identified. He maintains his innocence, claiming his wife disappeared while he was out fishing.
This is a miscarriage of justice. I do not think that the jury got it right. I think this prosecution was flawed from the beginning.
Also this morning, the Modesto, California fire investigator telling the Innocence Project that he has been deeply troubled by what he views as an insufficient investigation into the possibility that that burned van was related in some way to the disappearance of Lacey. George.
Okay, Kana, thanks. Let's bring in our chief legal analyst, Dan Abrams. Dan, you logged an awful lot of hours covering this trial. How surprising was this?
I was stunned that the Innocence Project is taking this. Now, the Innocence Project does some very good, important work on behalf of people who are actually innocent, right? Not technical violations, people who have been wrongly convicted. In this case, there was an enormous amount of evidence against Scott Peterson. What they're ignoring here is the evidence that was actually presented against him. The fact that the body was found exactly where he said he was fishing, 90 miles away from his home. That his girlfriend had him on tape admitting that he had said his wife was gone before she died. The fact that Scott Peterson gave different accounts of where he was either golfing or fishing, depending on who he talked to, on Christmas Eve with his 8.5-month pregnant wife supposedly at home. I mean, the list goes on and on and on of the evidence against Scott Peterson that this motion doesn't
really
address.
This evidence may bolster alternate theories for the defense, but it doesn't weaken the evidence against him.
Right. And look, all these issues were raised during the trial, right? This idea of a burglary that happened across the street. Real issue, right? Had to be investigated. Happened either on the day of, the day after. It matters between the two. That was something the defense tried to raise as reasonable doubt. Jury didn't accept it. Eyewitnesses who claimed that they saw someone who looked like Lacey after the time Scott Peterson had already left the house. Again, something else that was rejected. They got tons of tips at the time. Some of them from crackpots, some of them real. A lot of them were investigated, but none of them changed the evidence against Scott Peterson.
So what happens next?
So look, the question now is going to be, do they even get a hearing on this, right? I mean, look, this case is 18 years old. You don't automatically get new trial and new evidence and new testing 18 years later. They're going to have to demonstrate that they have a real chance of proving his innocence. I think that's a long shot. Is it possible that they'll get a hearing on this? Maybe. Is it possible they'll get a new trial on this? I think almost impossible. But you never know.
Danny.
What an absolute disgrace that these individuals are even going down this road. And make no mistake about it, Mark Garagos, of course he wants to then be able to say, see, I was right, and he wants to. For him to say that things were ignored, I think Dan Abrams did an excellent job in breaking that out. This is so appalling and outrageous. And the things that Dan Abrams said are exactly right. And of course, they're not mentioned in this. And we're living in this day and age where people love these alternative theories. People love conspiracy theories. It's almost like the new thing. You have these online sleuths. You saw them with Idaho. You're hearing it now with the Karen Reed case. They want to ignore the real evidence that is there and completely just continue to explore alternative theories. I think it's destructive. I'm not sure exactly what to make of it, but this is preposterous. This guy had himself right there. I remember when Mark Garagos, before he was on the case, was on Larry King saying, well, he places himself right where the body was found. How about, and also Dan Abrams is right, him telling Amber Frey, his wife, went missing before she went missing. This is a slam dunk. They got the right person. They had enough evidence to convict him. I think this is very dangerous precedent now that people embrace all these alternative theories and conspiracies, and they leave out, as Abrams said, the most crucial, important parts of the case. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Great meal, a great time is waiting for you at the Cohasset Inn, Rhode Island tradition since 1977, 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. They have a large dining room, perfect, maybe a group, maybe a collation, lunch. The Cohasset Inn, getting a big group together or maybe just you alone or a date. 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick, great staff, terrific food. They're always working on the menu. And they also have a nice lounge as well. You have the market at Cohasset right there. They're open 7 days a week. I'll see you for a great meal. Make it the Cohasset Inn. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. Joining us right now, he is a columnist with the Boston Globe. It is Dan McGowan. And Dan, let's start off. Governor McKee really was laying low I was kind of keeping track. No events planned. They released the video, the preview of his state of the state. He did deliver it, and you know, Globe obviously has coverage of it, but I'd like to hear Dan McGowan's thoughts on Governor McKee's state of the state.
Well, you just brought up a really interesting point, John. I mean, usually with these kind of states of the state or the, you know, budget, when they usually comes out, obviously it's going to, budget will come out today. Usually it's a little bit of like a roadshow for the governors, right? They want to go out and, you know, make their case to the voters and to the, or to just, you know, their constituents across the state. Hey, we're going to invest $100 million in housing. Hey, we're going to, you know, do this thing at URI, Life Sciences Center. You know, you kind of make your, this is always something Gina Raimondo did. And in the past, I think even Governor McKee has to some degree done it. This strategy is a little different. You're right. He kind of has laid low. He had no events on Wednesday, the day after the state of the state, which is usually the, you know, really the kickoff. Again, you do a roadshow where you go every, you know, you go to everywhere and you make your case that this is Team Rhode Island, as he said in his state of the, you know, the state of the state on Tuesday night. So a little bit surprising given that, you know, he has a relatively good story to share, right? It's not as though in Rhode Island's case, you know, it's not as though this is a budget or a year where we're talking about massive cuts. We're not, you know, we're still coming off that sort of high of, you know, federal, you know, surge of federal money, you know, post COVID. So like in some ways the roosters haven't come home to roost, or the chickens haven't come home to roost yet. Right. And you see that with what he's proposing. He's not at all warning that, you know, we're going to have to scale back. I actually thought the speaker and the Senate president, in their kind of previews of the year to the Globe and to, you know, other news outlets were much more, concerned or like issuing warnings about, hey, you know, we're not going to be able to spend lots of new money. In the governor's case, you know, he comes out, paints this rosy picture and says things are good, you know, we need you to get on board and all that. But it's very surprising that he's not kind of going out there and making the case. And I think one of the reasons why is the big splash in his State of the State address, or I guess the thing that he wanted people to really take away, was this idea that, you know, you're going to raise per capita income $20,000 by 2030. Now, there's already been some holes poked in that, but he hasn't wanted to answer the question of, hey, what's your actual plan? It reminds me exactly last year of, you know, the education initiative that he launched. He said, we'll have a plan in 100 days, 100 days later. And really, it was a bunch of goals that they issued, not plans. And I think he's kind of running into the same thing right now. And he's probably going to hold back on doing a lot of media. He already doesn't do a ton of media, but anyone that's going to really poke holes or ask questions, I think he's going to hold off on and kind of cast as, well, you're just being negative, which is kind of his MO.
That is kind of his MO. Dan McGowan, some of the things that, first of all, what do you just think of the whole delivery? If we just step back for a moment, I think it's fair to compare that after a couple of years, Gina Raimondo mastered the teleprompter. Governor McKee still stumbles with the teleprompter. He seemed very nervous. And what do you, how did the whole thing of, you know, he's the coach of Team Rhode Island, just what do you make of that whole thing?
Well, he's not Barack Obama. Right?
No.
He's, you know, and not Gina Raimondo in a lot of ways. I think the thing about this is that one of the things that was different about Gina Raimondo is, even though, you know, she had generally two people over the course of her tenure as governor helping her write her state of the state. Mike Rea, who's sort of a well-known person among insiders, wrote a couple of her first state of the states, and then Jen Bogdan, who used to work at the Providence Journal and then went over to work for Gina Raimondo, wrote, I think, the last couple. One of the things that they were very good at was not kind of just repeating, you know, we all knew the Gina from Smithfield's story, right? But they didn't harp on that every single year, the same story. In this case, I think what you see with Governor McKee is his people who kind of have written, you know, his first couple of speeches kind of have only a couple of things to go back to. He was a basketball coach, right? He was a small business owner, 39 cities and towns, you know, those kind of things. And you see those themes kind of, just throughout his speech. You're right, his delivery is not particularly good. He can't really tell. He's not great at telling a joke or, you know, making people crack up. I do think he comes across as a very kind of typical Rhode Islander. I think that's always been his skill, that people sort of, you know, there's a likability to him because he has the accent and he sort of has that, a little bit of the aw shucks, thing going for him. It's a little bit like Link Chafee, except Link Chafee was never like somebody who people felt like they were kind of aligned with, because he was obviously like in a different stratosphere of wealth. Dan McKee feels like the kind of guy that you might see, you know, you might play pickup basketball with, or see at the bar, you know, on any given night. And so that works to some degree, but what it doesn't do is when you try to, you know, tell a story that is fairly lofty and you try to really like, you know, raise people's hopes, he's just not that good at it. There's no moment in that speech where I said, where you get, you know, all the feels the way you would get with a Barack Obama, obviously. And even with a Gina Raimondo, who had a coherent story to tell, it always had like a good, again, a good follow-up, as I was saying before, to it. She was, yeah, I remember it very well, the most, you know, clear examples when she proposed the free college program at CCRI. I mean, she was on a mission for days and days and days after, really weeks. Once they proposed, they said, we are all in on this.
Right.
We don't care what you do with the rest of the budget, Speaker Mattiello at the time, but we're going to do this. And if you're going to fight us with it, we're going to make sure that we flood, you know, all of the committee meetings with people testifying why this is important. They were just much better about, I think, gaming this out and really coming up with a clear strategy than Governor McKee has. Governor McKee kind of relies on those writers who tell the McKee story fairly well, but he's just not that good at really like inspiring everybody.
Your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Folks, we're speaking with Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe, and we like and enjoy talking to Dan McGowan about his work in the Boston Globe, others that write in the Boston Globe. There's a lot on Gerard Mayo, the new coach of the Patriots. But Dan McGowan, to borrow your phrase, the full McKee, that story in the Johnson Sunrise that I saw that you did share on social media. Now, I don't consider that to be a competitor of the Boston Globe, the Johnson Sunrise. But wow, the mayor of Johnston. Now, you know, you've talked about that feud between the two of them, between, you know, had been the father, the mayor of Johnston. Now it's the son. But him reaching out to Helena Folks, who then reached out to Gina Raimondo, who reached out to Mayor Pete in order to get this done. I mean, that, you got to admit, that's pretty good.
Oh, it is pretty good. And credit to the Johnson Sunrise for being able to kind of nail down that story. And let's be honest about it. Well, you know, they ran and again, kudos to them. They went on sort of anonymous sources. It's fairly easy to see at least one of the anonymous sources there is likely the mayor, right? Mayor Policina Jr. has obviously been very critical of Governor McKee. And I think, you know, to get in there, hey, like we, you know, it's just such a twisting of the knife as Helena Foulkes, you know, starts to ramp up. By the way, we're about 2 weeks from all these politicians having to report their last quarter fundraising for, you know, for the end of 2023. You're going to see that Helena Foulkes actually raised some money. So it's going to be the first time. It won't be a lot from what I'm told, but you're going to see, look, she's active, and there's no one's hiding it. I think Speaker Shikarchi told us in an interview, she has been very clear. She is running for governor. And so I think you're going to start to see, you know, more of that. And boy, the McKee administration cannot be thrilled about this idea that, you know, not just called Helena Foulkes, but then you called Gina Raimondo, who obviously they feel, was not as helpful to him, certainly when he was lieutenant governor and then even in the transition. Not a great look. I think you're going to see more of those stories. And I think in 2024, you're going to see a lot of Helena Foulkes. I think you'll see her sneaking in as a quote to stories that the Globe writes and the Journal writes. You might start to see her on TV a little more, not in commercials, but wouldn't be surprised if she does, you know, an episode of Newsmakers and starts to really, you know, kind of reintroduce herself to folks to say, hey, I'm here, and it won't be long before you're seeing a whole lot of me.
Folks, we're speaking with Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe, and also this full coverage of it's a very tight race right now in New Hampshire with the primary coming up. And again, a good article to read, though, is his colleague Ed Fitzpatrick with McKee Outlines Game Plan for Rhode Island, but ball will remain in General Assembly's court. Dan McGowan, one final question, though. I think it's interesting, and Ed Fitzpatrick kind of went through this, but, you know, the Senate president and also the speaker, as you said, they've been pretty clear where they stand on things. It is a little surprising that the governor, it's almost like he almost just disregards it and threw it out in the state of the state, such as like, you know, the assault weapon ban, or you even have Speaker Shikarchi saying, hey, listen, this is going to be a tough budget. We're going to have to start cutting some things.
I thought the assault weapons ban was a really interesting decision, and it felt as though, and I, you can never really figure out how these addresses are written. That felt like a throw in, right? It was kind of somewhat random. It's an appeal to like the Democrat more left leaning base who does not usually identify with Governor McKee. But you're right, it is an interesting scenario because, you know, the question now becomes how much capital are you willing to risk? Are you going to fight with the Senate president in particular, who's just clear? I mean, the Senate president doesn't hide at all. This is a no-go for me. And so, you know, there may be support for it in the chamber in both the Senate and the House, but the Senate president doesn't want it. It isn't going to happen. And so, you know, question becomes how much of a fight happens. Unfortunately, I mean, you know how this works. In the next 4, 5, 6 months, God forbid, there's a mass shooting somewhere in this country or a major gun incident somewhere in Rhode Island, you start to ramp up that conversation and you know, maybe pressure, you know, the legislative leaders kind of give in to pressure on that. Without it, though, it doesn't end up a top of mind issue, and I think it kind of fades to black at the end of the session with just another year where you don't have it. So big question will be how much do you want to do that? And then you're right. I think the other scenario, I mean, the Senate president's been a little more, I think, conservative or hesitant on housing bonds. He's not entirely sold on $100 million, essentially for Stephen Pryor, the housing secretary, to, you know, kind of play with. So I think there are some real questions. It is interesting. I mean, you know, Speaker Shikarchi kind of always does the same thing. I mean, I could give his reaction to a budget or address or a State of the State address in my sleep. I could write it without even talking to him. It's, you know, I thought it was a good speech, and, you know, we'll really see how this plays out when May revenues come in. I mean, that's essentially what he says every year, no matter who is in charge. And I think it is true. I think they want to see, you know, where things are going to work. The bonds are a little easier to do because money's coming off the books, state debt's coming off the books. Some of the other initiatives, cutting some of those ticky-tack fees, you know, those are things that are popular among small businesses, but they do add up really quickly. And so it would be interesting to see how much the legislature actually wants to take it up and actually, you know, kind of reduce potential revenue. Like I said, those fees, cutting the corporate minimum tax, things that are popular among small business owners, but because they add up, you know, again, Speaker Shikarchi is looking at this and saying, boy, we got years, the next couple of years where we're going to be in a really tight budget. Do we really want to giving up revenue, any sort of revenue at this moment? So that'll be an interesting debate to be had. And then, of course, you're going to get the progressive, you know, more progressive members of the legislature who are going to be saying, no, we need to do more. We need to raise taxes on, you know, on the wealthy and things like that, which I think is a non-starter this year. But that will be the debate in the chamber, in each chamber.
Folks, the Globe also has full coverage of Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey, her State of the State as well. Folks, Dan McGowan, you can receive Roadmap, today's title, Happy Budget Day. So, Dan McGowan, if you'd be so kind to explain to people and extend the offer how they can start getting Roadmap.
Yeah, very simple. Everything John and I talk about ends up in Roadmap every single weekday. It's entirely free. It shows up in your inbox sometime around 8 a.m. Send me a blank email. Easiest way to sign up, send me a blank email to rinews@globe.com. I'll know what it is. I'll sign you up, rinews@globe.com, and you'll start getting it first thing tomorrow morning.
Folks, he's Dan McGowan. Dan McGowan, great job. Feel better, and we'll talk to you again.
Thanks, my friend. See ya.
Propane Plus. Call them today. Heating and cooling in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359 for Propane Plus. Three generations you can always depend on Propane Plus for all your heating and cooling. Call them today, 401-885-4209. Three generations, they're available 24/7. A service and delivery, and they're going to serve you for a very long time. They have a great user-friendly website. You just log on at propaneplus.com, and then you type in your zip code, residential, commercial, Propane Plus, heating and cooling, always there for you. Give them a call today in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359. The Johnson family, three generations. Heating and cooling, you can always depend on Propane Plus. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Well, they have this tragic story out of North Providence where this woman seemingly was killed by a plow truck operator right in the parking lot of where she lived. Now, I'm hearing that there are not going to be criminal charges, but her family did sit down and speak with NBC 10. And again, that this just happened this week. I want to play some of this, of the family speaking out. And again, but although there's questions about the license of the operator and so forth, I'm hearing no criminal charges. Here's the Channel 10 piece on it.
At last check, he was issued several motor vehicle violations, but no criminal charges. The Night Team's Molly Levine is live with the emotional interview. Molly.
Yeah, and there's a growing memorial here at Maple Gardens Apartments in North Providence where the victim lived. I sat down with her family, who just is heartbroken tonight and is hoping for change.
And I miss her and I love her always. This is how she was. At 71 years old.
71-year-old Maria Vega Rivera put her family first.
Raising three girls from the Bronx.
Helped others.
People in her building
were telling us that she was feeding them. She would check on them.
Was the life of every party, dressing up for any occasion.
She'd always say, you never know who you're going to meet.
Me.
Just days before her 72nd birthday.
She had a heart of gold.
Her life tragically ended when police say a snowplow backed into her in the parking lot of Maple Gardens Apartments, the senior living home where she lived in North Providence.
At first, it felt like a nightmare. Still does, to be honest with you.
Vega Rivera's daughter, Diane Lopez, tells me she asked her mother to stay home Tuesday because of bad weather, but says everyone at the apartment was moving their cars for the plow.
She had to remove the snow and then take the car out so that the plow can take out whatever snow was there. That's the reason why my mother left her apartment.
Police say the plow driver, 30-year-old Lloyd Carr, didn't work for the town and was driving an unregistered truck with a suspended license. He's facing several motor vehicle violations. He's also not a first-time violator. The public court portal shows Carr has numerous driving with suspended license charges in several Rhode Island cities and towns.
You should really make sure that any person you hire is credentialed to do the job that you're hiring them for. I understand.
Now fighting for a change, whether it's to make sure snowplows have backup cameras or so elderly never have to clear snow off their cars again.
My worry is for those people that live there. We want to make sure that they're okay.
But first, they'll honor Maria at Estaparto Funeral Home Sunday at 1:30 p.m. And a GoFundMe is set up so she can be buried in Puerto Rico, where she was born and raised.
We're taking her back home.
You know, I am hearing there's no criminal charges. So it's, although it sounds like an accident, we'll weigh in with our legal expert, attorney Tim Dodd. Now, whoever owns that, seemingly, whoever hired that individual, unregistered, doesn't have a license, these seem like some basic things that you would want to take care of. And as I was mentioning yesterday, you know, we haven't had a lot of snow the past couple of years. So it's the way I would view that, the reason I mentioned that, I should say, is just because I don't know how difficult it is to find a plow operator, or because it's been so light, if it's easier to find people because there are people that are so, you know, hungry to do the work, so to speak. I mean, if you've relied on that for income the past couple of years, you've taken a hit, as we, thank God, have had these mild winters. So I don't know exactly what happened, or this business that everyone has to move their car so then the plow can get in there, and something clearly happened. And then they're mentioning that they want cameras on plow trucks. So sure sounds as though the individual unknowingly backed into her. And then I don't know all the specifics, but I do know, as of right now, this individual, although had some license problems and had some trouble in the past, is not being criminally charged in any way. So it sounds like it could have just been a tragic mishap. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Unique Health. Now is the time. End of one year, beginning of the next. Set up a free consultation, no obligation. Contact Sandra at Unique Health, the right in Warwick, 401-826-8474. Unique Health. With their coaching, they will help you take off the weight, allows the body rid itself harmful chemicals. Unique Health is here. This is the time. You will see rapid, aggressive weight loss that can last a lifetime. It will target that stubborn fat. Do it for yourself. Do it for your family. Take off the pounds. Remember, it's not a diet change. It's a lifestyle change. Contact Unique Health. Learn about a free seminar. 401-269-9155. 401-269-9155. For Unique Health, call Sandra today. Sustainable weight loss. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. It's already starting. Now, it started in Massachusetts word is now this is going to be coming to Rhode Island. This is, let's go back, Massachusetts, where they had the press conference asking people to start taking illegals into their home. Let's play some of this audio.
If you have an extra room or suite in your home, please consider hosting a family. Safe housing and shelter is our most pressing need. Become a sponsor family. You can contact the Brazilian Worker Center for more information on how you can step up if you're willing to have an additional family be part of your family. If you're a local official, a college president, a business owner, or a faith leader with an available building or space in your community, please work with us to offer it as a shelter site. If you're a social service provider, please consider becoming an emergency assistance homeless shelter provider. Our resources are stretched thin there as well. And if you're a hotel or a motel owner, consider opening it up for emergency assistance. If you're a landlord or a property owner, we can use you too and connect you with service providers to help transition families into permanent housing. Everyone has something they can offer.
How about a deportation order? This is ridiculous, folks. This whole business that it's going to be up to us to house them, let alone most of them happen to be young men that are coming over. Yeah, you put them in your house if you have children, or even if you don't have children. They're not properly vetted. They clearly don't follow the law. That's how they ended up here. Let's go to Vice President Harris on The View, talking about how she failed at the border. Not really, but she just talks about how she thinks it's petty politics.
What are you doing to work with Republicans to try to solve this issue once and for all?
We offered a bill. We have offered that there would be, in the Senate, we have offered that there will be a bipartisan work to fix it. It literally was the first bill we passed. And I think it's critically important that we understand that there are petty politics at play on this issue as much as anything. We need solutions. The solutions are at hand. We have to work on them together. We have offered, for example, that in our security package coming up, $14 billion that we would like them to approve.
Which Senate Republicans support.
To address this issue. And Senate Republicans support it. So, hey, let's all participate in solutions if we want to call ourselves leaders.
Oh, yeah. Suddenly now she wants to come up with solutions. This is unacceptable. She hasn't done anything. As we know, she didn't even go to the border. And now they're trying to say, oh, we've come up with a bill. We can't have this. This has to end. This is no way to run a country. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. You need a good plumber? I found the best plumber, JMB Plumbing. Call them today. All your plumbing needs, 401-743-9153. JMB Plumbing. They've been providing plumbing services for years. Skilled professionals stand behind their work. Guarantee you will be happy. Maybe it's repairing damaged water pipes, repair clogged pipelines, maybe replace a water heater, as well as all your plumbing needs. Call them now. It's JMB Plumbing, 401-743-9153. Nothing throws off your life or your home or your business. When you need plumbing service, you need someone reliable, someone who's professional, someone who'll handle the job and do it right. It's JMB Plumbing. Call them today. 401-743-9153, JMB Plumbing, and look for them on Facebook. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. Jamie Dimon went on CNBC and talked about President Trump and talked about the economy, talked about immigration, talked about China. Now, I want to play this. This is someone carries a lot of weight, J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon. Listen to him on CNBC.
Playing itself out over the next 12 months. This is an election year. We can talk a lot about what just took place in Iowa and trying to understand how the American public is going to feel about the economy may ultimately dictate how the president is decided.
Yes, I agree with that. I think it's a mistake to assume that everything's hunky-dory. And, you know, and when stock markets are up, it's kind of like this little drug we all feel. Like, it's just great, you know. But remember, we've had so much fiscal and monetary stimulation. So I'm a little more on the cautious side. that we are facing a lot of things in 2024 or 25. And you mentioned Ukraine, the terrorist activity in Israel, the Red Sea, quantitative tightening, which I still question if we understand exactly how that works. I don't think we do. How QE actually worked, what the effect of negative, you know, zero rates was for all this time, and obviously the politics. And, you know, and then the Ukrainian war is affecting oil, gas, food, migration. So you have all these very powerful forces that are going to be affecting us in 24 and 25. So if I was the government, I would be preparing for what I'm going to do about that, assuming things aren't good. And I just also want to point out, I wish the Democrats would think a little more carefully when they talk about MAGA, you know, and if you travel this country, you know, and the country's unbelievable. We took our bus trip this year, and Leslie Picker was on Spokane and Boise and Bozeman. People are growing. They're hungry to grow. They're innovating. It's everywhere. It's not just Silicon Valley. So we've got this great hand. But when people say MAGA, they're actually looking at people voting for Trump, and they think they're voting, and they're basically scapegoating them, that you are like him. But I don't think they're voting for Trump because of his family values. And if you look, just take a step back, be honest. He was kind of right about NATO, kind of right about immigration. Mm-hmm. He grew the economy quite well.
China virus.
Tax reform worked. Mm-hmm. He was right about some of China. I don't like what he did.
No, I said China virus.
Yeah, I understand. When he may have been right. And I don't like how he said things about Mexico. I don't like, but he wasn't wrong about some of these critical issues. And that's why they're voting for him. And I think people should be a little more respectful of our fellow citizens. And when you guys have people up here, you should always ask the why. Not like it's a binary thing. You're supporting Trump, you're not supporting Trump. Why are you supporting Trump?
It's hard to
hate
75 million of your fellow Americans. And
I agree.
It's done criminally.
And, you know, the Democrats have done a pretty good job with the deplorables, hugging onto their Bibles and their beer and their guns. I mean, really? Can we just stop that stuff and actually grow up and treat other people with respect and listen to them a little bit? And I do think the economy will affect. And I think this negative talk about MAGA is going to hurt Biden's election campaign.
Boy, I mean, I could listen to him all day. He is 100% on the money. Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan CEO, 100% accurate. And I like that he was saying he was right about a lot of those things. Maybe people didn't like the way that he said it, but he was right about it. And it even goes on from there. This is here, Jamie Dimon, and talking at Davos and speaking about the border and border policies. And again, I think he is right about that.
Destroy our country. And so I think the people who think that somehow this is okay, so now that, you know, they're sending the migrants into New York and stuff like that, so all of my super liberal friends, now they realize what a problem is. Did it have to be that? If you do not control the borders, you are going to destroy our country. And so I think the people who think that somehow this is okay, so now that, you know, they're sending the migrants into New York and stuff like that, so all of my super liberal friends, now they realize what a problem is. Did it have to be that?
You know, he's 100% right. And folks, again, you don't hear anyone talk about it when it comes to Rhode Island. Coach McKee won't talk about being a sanctuary state, the amount of illegals coming in. You don't even hear the Republicans. The Republicans at the State House don't even talk about it. Now, he also talks about Bitcoin, which I also think is interesting. This guy is, he's so fascinating. So, but saying he sees no value in Bitcoin, please stop talking about it. And then he actually I'm not going to play it actually, because of the way it's not that bad. But he's just like, we need to stop talking about it. There's no value in it. And yet they all just keep talking about it. But I think he is 100% right regarding President Trump, MAGA. You see it locally. You see it locally where you have Governor Coach McKee, Governor McKee and Matos, and they don't hesitate to bash anyone who would vote for Trump. They don't hesitate with this. You know, what is Congressman Gabe Amo? What does he say? The MAGA Republicans. Sabina Matos is the worst, and these MAGA Republicans. She was blaming, quote, MAGA Republicans for her signature scandal. I think he is really impressive, Jamie Dimon. He's also, you know, we've talked about him quite a bit when we have Donna Perry on, and he is someone that it's a voice that needs to be heard. You know, he picks his place, spots. I think he's 100% on the money. You're insulting people. And people look back, and President Trump was right about a lot of those things. Now, locally, you're going to be seen as if, you know, you need your head examined if you'd consider voting for him. Meanwhile, New Hampshire, you know, President Trump right now is really going after Nikki Haley ahead of the New Hampshire primary. And Governor DeSantis has actually bailed out of New Hampshire. He's doing so poorly, he's suddenly going down to South Carolina. I'm not sure I understand that strategy. But I do want to just play this quick clip about the race that appeared on ABC.
You and Donald Trump and Nikki Haley are increasingly framing this as a two-person race right here in New Hampshire. The former president holding a rally here overnight, ramping up his attacks on Nikki Haley, insisting that if she is the Republican nominee, then they will lose the White House in races up and down the ballot in November. Haley was quick to respond on social media, pointing out that under Trump's presidency, Republicans lost the House, the Senate, and eventually the White House. The former South Carolina governor is trailing Trump in this state by single digits, but the former president still holds a pretty wide lead nationally. In our new ABC News Ipsos poll, 80% of Republicans believe that Trump has the best chance of winning in November. So where does that leave Florida Governor Ron DeSantis? Well, this morning we have learned that he is shifting his resources to South Carolina, moving most of his staff to that state. He'll spend the final weekend before the New Hampshire primary campaigning in South Carolina, even though that contest is still 5 weeks away. DeSantis still insisting that if Trump is the nominee, this election will be all about his legal drama. But that is exactly what the former president is campaigning on. It is the cornerstone of his 2024 message. George.
Not sure I understand the strategy of Governor DeSantis. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. When it comes to insurance, you need a neighbor, a partner, and friend. You need Choppa Insurance Agency. They're located right on Reservoir Avenue in Cranston. Call today, free consultation, 401-900-INSU, 401-900-4678, Choppa Insurance, SIA. Steven, very experienced, whether it's auto, home, renters, business insurance, flood, recreational, umbrella, any other protection for your assets, Rhode Island and Massachusetts, Choppa Insurance Agency, your agency of choice. Call today, set up a meeting. They're so knowledgeable, can have everything under one roof. Call Choppa Insurance today, 401-900-INSU or 401-900-4678. Look for them on Facebook, again, located Reservoir Avenue in Cranston, Choppa Insurance Agency, your neighbor, your partner, your friend, one-stop insurance solutions. For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today, the tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency service is available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists, Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln, you can depend on Yankee Tree Service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028.